All right, welcome back. Hi, I'm Guru Catherine, and we're meeting again today with Kerry Trubenbach. Welcome back. She is a spiritual coach and psychologist, and it's so great to have your perspective here. And we were just talking about something before we started recording that we realized we needed to record, and we were just kind of talking about personal stuff, but it's things that I see a lot of people going through today, and it speaks to, I think, what's happening in the larger world. So, Kerry, why don't you give us a rundown on what's going on in your world, and then we will analyze it. We will take a look at what we can figure out.
Thanks. I'd love to do that. But first, I just want to, before I start, just take three deep breaths. Connect in.
There it is.
So much better.
That helps already.
Yeah, just to go in and get connected inside. I wanted to share what I'm going through because as a spiritual coach and leader, and I'm aware that I'm not the only one going through this. Actually, everyone I talk to is going through really challenging times. And even though I have a perspective on that, I even have an understanding, somewhat of an understanding. Clearly, I don't have the whole picture. I don't think I can as a human on this planet at this time, but I certainly have a glimpse of what's going on. And that will only help to a certain extent. And then you're in with those feelings and that experience. And no matter what your head says, it doesn't feel better. It feels
right.
I think it's helpful. I think it is helpful. But for example, even if you have the perception and the understanding that someone never dies, when they pass away from your life, as much as we know we could be celebrating for them, we have a loss and we can't ignore that. We can't ignore the feelings of the death. And I do believe that part of the suffering that I know I'm going through, and I know that other people are going through, there's an identity death. I don't necessarily want to call it an ego death because it makes it sound as if the ego is all bad, needs to be gotten rid of and changed. But I think that the ego has served its purpose and is serving its purpose. Don't think there's a way to really completely cut that out anyway. So then it just puts you in conflict with yourself. Right. So.
Right.
But there is an identity.
We talk about ego death, but it's more that we need to talk about ego integration because, you know, the death
yes.
of the ego is that moment when you realize that there is no self, right? You keep sort of switching identities and updating identities and trying to figure out who you are. And then you decide, oh, I'm this person. And then you defend that, you know, vehemently. I am this person. I am this. And then you realize, okay, no, I'm not that. I'm this other thing. And eventually you realize I'm none of these things. And yet I'm all of these things, right? And the ego death is when you realize I'm none of these things. I am none of that identity. There is no self. The self is just this sort of costume and persona that we put on while we're here in this incarnation. But then they kind of don't talk about what comes after That's that, cool. which is the reintegration of the ego, which is I am all of these. I all of the things. And
it doesn't make it not easier. One. And yeah.
Right. And reintegrating and making the ego work for you and work with you. But to your point, it doesn't make it easier when we face the challenges, which we still do. I don't care how aware you become, or how versed in your spirituality become, or how much of a master meditator you become. Life happens, yeah, and we're still human, and it just doesn't, you know, and we still face the challenges too. And I think I love the idea of talking about that today, because there's, man, everybody's right now, oops, sorry, let me silence that, turn that off. I see everybody in the world is facing the, there's one now. There's so much challenge happening in the world right now. Everybody I know, mm-hmm, is handling some kind of challenge right now. Everybody, myself included. And so that's a common misconception I see, that people think that if they just get far enough in their spiritual journey that they won't have challenges, which is very funny. So we're still human. It's just how we handle them and that perspective we take on them. And the challenges can look like all kinds of things. I'm seeing a lot of relationship drama right now. I'm seeing health drama. I'm seeing just sort of, you know, falling back into old patterns, you know, old unhealthy patterns. That's one of mine, mm-hmm, right now. Lack of boundaries, falling into lack of boundaries, having to put back boundaries on schedule things so I don't, mm-hmm, overwork. That's my favorite one to fall, yeah, back into all the time. Yep. Yes. Mm-hmm. Love to overwork. Love. Then you burn out and you go, oh, I knew better. I knew better than to allow that. Here we go again. So we'll try again. But then there can be, you know, other challenges that are hard to figure out. And that's where I want to take a look at what you're working with right now. In the stuckness, of these times,
yeah,
in our life. And let me let you describe it.
You know, it's hard to describe, except that, it's kind of like, you're in a rat's wheel, or you keep trying to move forward and, you know, trying to get something done or get a bunch of things done or just move forward in your plans. And everywhere you turn is a challenge. And then that becomes a distraction as well, because if you're focused on solving one challenge, that's where all your energy goes. And just to repeat something you said, we're pure energy, and consciousness is pure energy. And so when my energy is trying to accomplish things, and everywhere I move to, it feels like it's being blocked. I'm not sure whether that means that I'm not supposed to be where I am, doing what I thought I was came here to do, or I'm not really sure what it means. But what I do know is that if you're constantly being blocked, it just seems to me that the universe is telling me, in this case, that maybe I'm focusing on the things that are not going to be helping me. So I need to shift.
Yeah.
Or it's, yeah, either that, or there's a, or there are negative forces, negative energies, dark energies that are sabotaging, but that almost feels like a conspiracy. It could be an entity. I know people have, I've had clients that have had entities, and they experienced quite a big shift after those entities were released. But I really don't know. And there are so many different possibilities, and I don't mean to scare anybody that's listening, but, yeah, you know, just as people can have negative thoughts and feelings about you, and that can impact you, there can be energies around you impacting you. And it's really hard to know. But what I do believe is that when we're in alignment, that there is a conspiracy of the universe helping out. Like when you're in alignment, it seems like just the energy flows and things line up and help comes in. And it's just beautiful. I've had that many times. So I know when I'm in alignment, how that feels. And now I clearly am not either in alignment or I'm dealing with something I've never dealt with. I don't really know, but I know that everywhere I turn, I hear people struggling like this, no matter how evolved we think we are or are. It appears that it's my understanding from Cryon is that, you know, 2024 or for one of the channels that I listen to, and I've heard this before, is that 2024 is going to be very different. And what we're doing is we're doing our shadow work. We're releasing a lot of our shadow, our dark side. And so it's mm-hmm. coming up. And that that's why everyone's going through this. Now, I don't remember people going through this as much in 2020. That was a whole different time with the pandemic. But right now, with no pandemic, with nothing going on, people are experiencing extreme challenges. And if you're an empath also, then you're experiencing collective energies also, with 22 mm-hmm. wars going on globally. And as we evolve, we're becoming more empathic, more compassionate, more quantum. And so that's also going on. So there's so much going on. It can be really confusing, even for people who have been on this journey for a long time, like myself. Mm-hmm. I'm just not sure, but I'm looking forward to getting in alignment again, because boy, it's so much easier. It's so much nicer when it feels like the whole universe is backing you up. And then right now, it almost feels like the universe is against me. Now, I know that that's not even possible to be against me as a universe, because I am the universe.
Right. Yeah.
Right. If I am the universe, how can I be? Yeah. So, but it's that old thinking that if you're not for me, you're against me. You know, that old thinking.
Right. Right. Yeah.
The old value, the old belief that's still there lingering. What did you do to deserve this? You know, that
why
kind of
am
victimization, that whole paradigm. The paradigm of victim, hero, and perpetrator. And we've been living in that paradigm, that triangle, forever. And now that I want to get out of it, and I'm consciously removing myself from it, or at least attempting to, I'm thrown back suddenly into this feeling of being victimized, because things are just not flowing anymore and I'm used to them flowing. I kind of started to expect it. You know, it's just
right. You were
so
in that
wonderful
flow
when that happened
for a long time. Well, and let's pick it apart a little bit here. So there's all these different influences, right? And I'll take it general for the whole world, and then we'll narrow it down just in your case. So everything that's going on in the world right now, we see this, this welling up of, it's just like the volcano in Iceland that's getting ready to get to, here comes the lava, and it's welling up, and it's welling up across the whole world. And the wars that you see, the wars, the violence, how across humanity, so many people seem to have forgotten how to see each other as human. And so we have all of that going on. And that's just, mm-hmm. it's a symptom of this darkness coming up to be dealt with. All the shadow self, all those parts of ourselves that we hate or we find unacceptable, mm-hmm. and we push them down. And I love this, you know, the Jungian psychology of the shadow self is so great because it's so real. All these pieces that your parents didn't like about you. So you stuff that part of you in a closet and shut the door. because it's unacceptable, because that won't get you love from your parents, or later on that won't get you love from society or whatever. And then sometimes we just put things in the shadow or put them in the closet, because for whatever reason, we feel they're unacceptable about ourselves. Well, here comes that, right? It's all those thoughts that you have that, right, you find are socially unacceptable or morally unacceptable, or you don't feel good about, and in order to defend this identity that you're in right now, right? Oh, well, no, I would never think such a thing. And so you stuff it away. Well, it sits there in the dark and it grows. And it gets stronger and it gets stronger, yeah, and it gets stronger. And that part of you then at some point comes up and demands your attention, that it just wants you to admit that it's there and say, okay, you know, yes, I felt that way and I'm ashamed of that. Yes, I had that thought and I'm ashamed of that. Okay. It's just a thought. It's just a feeling, and you go, oh, okay, well, I don't feel good about that, but okay, there was that, moving on. And then you can release it, move on. And it's so easy. But all of this is coming up, and the war and the violence and the volcanoes and the earthquakes are just this symptom of our collective
everything
shadow self coming up, and instead of an instantaneous boom, it's this welling up and this flooding over, and it feels contagious, right? And one war leads to another and sparks another and sparks, and even though totally unrelated, but well, why now? Because violence is contagious. Seeing people as less than human is contagious, and we label groups of people, because when you put a label on a group of people, it's much easier to treat them as non-human. Whereas if you can separate them, you can treat them as not human by treating them as a group with a name of the group. Whereas if you said the same words that I see people saying, if you took the same words and you said it about an individual by name, you'd be horrified with yourself. you wouldn't, right? You would never say such things about a single person and go, Bob right there, here's what ought to happen to Bob. You would never say that, right? But you'll say that about an entire group. And so this not seeing each other's humanity is affecting everybody, right down to individuals.
Absolutely.
Having, rifts between themselves and family members, between themselves and partners, in their work life, work relationships. We're seeing it manifest in health issues, injuries, or, short-term health and issues like injuries or long-term health issues coming about in different folks. We see, we seem to see, and I don't know if this is real or not, but it seems to be more people passing on than before. And you're not imagining it out there. That's going on, because I talk to so many people and it is pervasive. And so that's the general energy that you're sitting inside of all around you physically all the time. And we know that whatever people are thinking or feeling in one geographic area can have a massive effect on everyone else in that area. A really cool example of the time, they had about 3,000 people on the National Mall in DC, and they were just had them come in and meditate on the concept of peace, on the word peace. What is peace? What does it mean? Just meditate on the concept of peace. And people were coming in and out all day, but they had about 3,000 meditators there all day. And what happened was a 70% reduction in violent crime in the Washington, D.C. area for a month. Wow. I know. And we see similar things. So peace one day, Jeremy Gilley started this very cool idea, peace one day, where he goes and he works with leaders all around the world to get them to agree to, especially in war zones, a total ceasefire for one day to allow medical personnel, usually medical personnel, doctors and nurses and such, to come in and treat people who, because of being in a war zone, are cut off from medical care. So they'll come in and just for those 24 hours, treat as many people as they can and then get back out. And when they do that, they find a set, even in a war zone, and then it's okay, war back on. They find a 70% reduction in the war, in the violence associated with that war or that conflict for a month. For a month following that 24-hour period. And I'm like, this is interesting. So the vibe that everybody's bringing is affecting you, affecting all of us, whether you know it or not. The attitude that your neighbors have all around you, and you don't even know what that is necessarily. But what they're feeling and thinking, you know, so it affects everyone. Now on the, here's the bright side, so do you, all right? So the attitude that you're having in your space affects the people around you as well. So you can dish it out just as much as you can take it in. But I'm getting to the root of what I think is going on in your situation. So you're feeling blocked at every turn. You're feeling like everything you try to do, whether it's technological or non-technological, is nothing's working. You try this, it doesn't work. You try that, it doesn't work. Dang it. Something ought to be working. Statistically, it's not possible that everything I try doesn't work. And you're right. So you're being blocked. And then the question becomes, what's blocking you? So my first check-in is always, are you blocking you? Because we block ourselves so much. It's in, absolutely. That's always the first place to check, right? Always look in the mirror first. Right. Are you blocking you? And I don't think you are. Right. I'm not getting that. And usually that is the answer. 95% of the time, we're blocking ourselves.
And as a psychotherapist, that's the first place I go. Is it's me?
Yeah.
It's the first place.
I yeah. Go. Am I?
I've been
yeah,
working am I on blocking myself since I was like.
Yeah. So for everybody else out there, that's the first question you want to ask yourself. If you feel like you're being blocked at every turn and you feel like nothing you're trying is working out, and then you start to fall into this, why am I being punished? What did I do wrong? Yeah. Okay, so you've got to pull out of that. Is a human consciousness viewpoint on things. I did wrong, therefore I'm being punished, or I am bad, or whatever. Pull out of all of that, take all of that and put it aside. And this is where being further in your spiritual journey helps, because you can pull back, zoom out, come to the 10,000 foot view and look at yourself objectively and go, am I blocking myself? What does that mean? Do I have some beliefs that are blocking me? Because maybe sometimes people have, and I don't believe this is true in your case, but sometimes I do see, so for anybody listening, people will have thoughts like, I'm not smart, or I don't know how to do anything, or that's too hard, or I'm not good enough, or, you know, they may have beliefs about themselves like that. That can certainly block.
Yeah, and that's
often the root. Yeah, some sense of inferiority that you picked up in childhood, things like that, that cause you to keep yourself small or less than or things like that. So we always kind of look for that first. And I don't get that. And I also, and so I'm kind of I put my hand kind of off camera so people don't see I'm reading into that. I should probably keep it on camera when I do that. I'm reading into your situation. So from an intuitive reading, I'm not getting that you're blocking yourself. So then we go to, okay, so that's not it. Therefore, what's blocking you? And it comes down to individuals. And now it could be you could have neighbors who have a very negative vibe and you just don't know it, right? But they're having a very negative, limited vibe, and that is creeping into your physical space there. Entities are a thing. Let me explain that before anybody gets too freaked out. What do we mean by entities? Entities can be relatives, people that knew you that passed on, and now they're on the other side, and they're choosing to work against you in some way. Or they can be people you didn't know in this lifetime, or souls, spirits, bits of energy that you didn't know. People will go as far as to use words like demons and things like that. I think that worries people and it freaks people out too much, because I think that mm-hmm. the source of entities that choose to serve the darkness rather than serve the light, I think typically comes from those who used to be human, and that shadow self overtook and was so big it became the predominant, was the darkness. And so it is possible to have those who now live in the energy and consciousness rather than in a physical body, choosing to work against you. It's incredibly rare, though. Incredibly rare. And is that what's going on here? No, it's not. So then what that leaves is people who are still people who are still incarnated and having the human experience, individuals sending this negative blocking energy. And now how do they do that? They don't even have to know they're doing it. They don't even have to do it intentionally. But if there is a person on this planet who doesn't like you and who would prefer to see you fail, just that thought of them imagining you fail is going to bring that blocking energy to you. They don't have to sit there and go, oh, I'm going to, you know, I'm doing voodoo on you, or I'm doing, you know, which I don't say jokingly, that is not to be messed with. Be careful out there, y'all. Santeria is not to be messed with. That can do some for real damage. But let's not get into that. That's a whole other one. But just by people having those thoughts, and you'll notice the difference when those people are no longer in your life, to the point that they're, and I mean, they've got to be so far out of your life or so busy with their own life that they're not even thinking about you anymore. And all of a sudden, you don't feel blocked anymore. So if there's anyone who might be thinking about you in a negative way, that can be causing this kind of problem. I've also seen it where the energy in a particular location, let's say your house, your property, houses and property, places where people live, things mm-hmm. that people owned, they retain the energy of the people who lived there. We're putting off signals all the time from a pure physics perspective. Our heartbeats are giving off signals all the time. Our brains are giving off signals all the time. Our bodies are giving off signals all the time. And they go into these spaces and they bounce around and they affect the general energy in these spaces where we live and in the things that we hold on to and work with every day.
Because everything has energy. Has energy, and everything, and even inanimate objects contain the energy of whoever they were connected to.
Whoever they came in contact with. You're saying. Yeah. Absolutely. And sometimes it's a little bit and sometimes it's a lot. When I first walked into this house, the energy in the front two rooms was pure joy and connection. It was beautiful. It's not always negative energy. It can be wonderful energy, right? You ever just pick up an object and you just love it. And you don't even know why. Or you go into a space and you just love it. And you don't even know why. it can have that feeling because there must have been a lot of joy and connection and happy things happening in those rooms since this house was built in 1947. It's had plenty of time to accumulate. and yet, you know, another room, you know, this room, which is the studio, is for the ashram. It had a totally blank. It was nothing. I had never seen a room so zeroed out in my life. Zero. Not negative, not positive, nothing. And so, you know, work had to be done to put the right vibe into the room. But so I've been in your spaces before, and right. I didn't get any, I think I would have picked it up. I didn't necessarily look for it, but we were walking around and we were in the space and we were hanging out, and I didn't get anything negative there. So this comes down to me that there are people in your life who don't like you and are thinking negative thoughts about you. And it's causing, and it's coming into you. And it's the same way, you know, you ever have when people will speak things over you, you know, oh, I don't think that's going to work out for you. Oh, I don't, they'll say it right to your face sometimes. Right. You know, I don't know if that was a good idea. Remember when you first moved in and people were like, oh, I don't know, you're so far from a hospital. Hold up now. Are you wishing negative health things on me? Are you like, what? Time out. And that right there is such a negative thing to speak over someone. You know, because you're putting, you know, even just doing that, even just straight psychological perspective, you're putting ideas in people's heads, right? So if I say to someone, oh, aren't you worried about the following? What if that happened? Now I just put the idea in their head that that could happen. It might, it could, oh no. And now into their subconscious it goes and tortures them day after. What's a horrible thing to do to people.
Yeah.
So there are all these ways in which other people influence our subconscious mind. And then the subconscious blocks us at every turn. And whether that's out of fear or whatever. And so, so a change of location is up for consideration, but be very, very careful about. You can think of a change in location in case it's your neighbors. But you also want to think about who's around you and that has spoken negative things over you in the past. And try to cultivate more positive people around you that are more supportive and or that are speaking positive things over you, because it works that way too, right? If someone says,
I have a lot of
So, you know, that it's the same people that go and go, oh my gosh, you could do amazing things. Look, think of the most amazing things that you could do. And now that's in your subconscious and you're thinking about the most amazing things that can happen. Oh, wow. And now your subconscious is going, yeah, okay, let's work towards that. Let's make things happen in those directions. But there's going to be, and I'm betting other people are dealing with this too, around all of us right now, whether it's neighbors, coworkers, family, friends, whatever, there's a lot of negativity bubbling up to the surface and people are acting from their emotional baggage and their subconscious and their shadow.
Right.
And that's going to be affecting us. And as much as you can't avoid them because maybe they're coworkers or family or whatever, you want to protect yourself from that because it's around everybody right now and you got to not let it in. So, you know, and you're versed in your spiritual work and your energy practices enough to kind of push that out and protect yourself from that. White light, you know, white light, purple flame, whatever, you know, there's all these beautiful visualizations you can use for that. Imagining yourself surrounded in this, you know, white light bubble or a big purple flame is another fun one. Kind of pick a color depending on you know, the chakras and what you're trying to accomplish that day. I'm very blue today. I'll go with a blue flame of expression. Trying to keep that at bay, but also getting deeper into your spiritual practices and staying very, very connected with that as the whole of humanity goes through this turmoil of the shadow at large bubbling up and showing itself as all of this sort of violence and ugliness and just not seeing each other's humanity. But any space that you do consider moving to, you want to read into that space really well so that you're not putting yourself in another copy of the same situation. Right. So absolutely. I see the isolation feels so negative for you where you are right now, sort of cut off from community a bit, and not completely, but it feels like it. And so,
yeah, there are times it feels like it and times where I'm already growing a new community out here. So an 11-11 meditation community, and it's regularly 5 to 7 people showing up. So it is creating at least a sense of community out here.
Yeah. And that connection and feeling of connectedness and that practicing of people seeing each other's humanity. And connecting in a positive way, anyway, and not just in spite of our humanity, but because of it, and appreciating each other for that.
Right.
And so I think that's the big challenge of our time right now, of the times that we're living in.
It is, absolutely. And,
And a lot of people are living in fear. And that fear comes out sometimes as anger and I'm just really shocked lately at the things that I see people saying. So there's some of wanting to cut yourself off from that. And deepening your connection into the positive and the truth that is the love and the oneness. But I don't know. Does that help?
No, I'm so glad what you're saying is, And this is for the listeners. As I was listening to you, I was again reminded that because so many of us are going through hard times, that this is the time, even though it's really sometimes difficult to listen to somebody's stuff, their negativity, their the negative thoughts that they're embroiled in, and the feelings that are occupying their body because they haven't released them yet. When people are in that space, the best thing we can do is just listen, but from a detached place, not listening as an empath where it comes into you, but where you actually, what I do is I surround myself with white light. And then I listen, and you can say, after they're done on, you know, just releasing a lot of stuff, is there more? Is there anything else? Like encouraging them to continue to let it go and release it until they get to a place where they're just done. It's almost like an upchucking. Yeah. But if there's a tendency, which I know I've had a tendency, and I know other people have, there's a tendency to want to protect ourselves from a lot of negative energy right now. And we all have it because we're all releasing it. That's what's going on. The war is everything. It's all about releasing that negative energy, but it's releasing it because of the light. In other words, the darkness cannot stay where the light is. So it has to come up and out. It has to release because it doesn't like the light. It doesn't want to be near the light. So just being who you are may be bringing up the stuff because the light is winning at this point. It has won, actually. But that just means that the darkness darkness that we're experiencing and that we're hearing about and seeing, that darkness is a release, which has to happen in order for us, that purging, that purification process needs to happen in order for us to evolve, to have more and more light in running our lives into this shift. And I've heard that the planet is already ascending, has already ascended into fourth, and it's going into fifth, and we're on it. So we're just trying to catch up. That's what I've heard. Now, I don't know whether that's true or not, but I thought, boy, if that is true, then we're all, yes, then collectively we're all going through it because we're all on the planet.
We're all here. And if she's moving,
right, then we're going to be moving and ascending with her. And stuff has to come out and up, because if we're going to become more and more light, more and more etheric, and less of the carbon-based existence into a more crystalline-based experience, if we're moving from mechanical physics to quantum physics, you know, just all the changes that are happening, then this transition period is challenging for humans, because we don't like change, especially when we're right. not in control of it.
And what I want to say to all the listeners is that,
oh, go ahead.
Oh, no, finish your thought. And then I want to add something to it.
Well, just that we really, even though it's hard, when we're finally in a good place, it's hard to be around somebody that needs to just spew out negativity. It's almost like, oh no, I have my own, go, you know, but really we need to be able to listen without taking it in or taking it on. And if you can't do that yet, then you have to take care of yourself first. But if you protect mm-hmm. yourself and allow that person to release all that emotional baggage, all the emotional burden that they've been carrying, and encourage it. Is there anything else that you want to say? You know, encourage them to keep talking until they've exhausted themselves. That will be the most helpful thing we can do for each other.
That is a fabulous idea. And speaking of kind of evolving, it's true. So we think of the earth itself is constantly evolving. We as humanity are constantly evolving in our, not just bodies, but in our minds and our spirituality. And when you think about, you know, how the individual goes through these stages of their psychological and spiritual and emotional evolution over the course of their lives. And when you think of humanity as a whole, as an aggregate, you can watch an entire civilization, an entire country, or an entire region walk through those same stages. And so right now, if I had to say humanity at large was in stage five, where we're identified with ideology, where on average, you have more people totally focused on ideology than anything else. But how do we get from that evolution where we as individuals doing on our personal journey evolve to the next step? How do you do that? You do it through work. And it's hard work. And it's tough, right? You do it by, you've got to ask yourself all these questions, and you know, and it's the work to be done in each stage to sort of get you into the next one is not easy. And it's the hard stuff of learning to forgive others and learning to forgive yourself and doing that shadow work. That's tough. It takes a good bit of bravery to open that closet door and see what's in there and start pulling it out and cleaning it out. And so to your point of these evolutions don't happen easily or magically, you know, or happily. They happen with hard work and fear and bravery and doing it anyway and doing the work and emerging into what's next. but it's uncomfortable, not only because we don't like change, but because we have to face ourselves in the process and all those mm-hmm. bits of ourselves that we don't like. Yeah. And we're just doing that as a collective humanity now and as individuals, but then also on the world stage. So no, it's not going to come easily. These next couple of years are going to be a little intense. You know, it feels very intense right now. And I think we're going to see a lot more of that coming into 2024 and 2025 as humanity kind of closes out another sort of cycle for us at large. We each sort of work in these 9-year cycles that I've noticed, and humanity right now is in a 7-year. This is a little fun with Pythagorean numerology. So we're in a 7-year right now. So humanity at large is having a year that's very focused on the physical, people and stuff people made, buildings, infrastructures, cars, stuff. It's a very material.
Physicality.
It's a very material year. And you see that with war, the destruction of material. You see that with the creation of material, very cool new rockets and AIs and things being created and things being destroyed, but it's things, the thing year. And then next year, and I'll do a separate video on this at some point, but 2024 is an 8-year, which will be a year very focused on money and finance and the markets and banking and probably crypto with that. And it's going to be a little bit more about money and attention and where we're putting our effort. And then we have a 9-year, which will be very focused on information. But then what happens is we'll click over and major things happening in the world for these next couple years as we close out this next cycle. And start a new one. And what will that be? Yikes. I don't know. I haven't analyzed it yet, but we'll get there. But so anyway, I guess my point is.
Yeah, a lot of changes coming up.
Lots of changes.
Yeah,
you want to try.
Because next year. Yeah.
Next year.
That's what I'm getting. Next year is going to be a doozy.
A wild ride. The next year and the one after that, 2024, 2025, if you think it's intense now. And so we all have to do this work to try to stay at that 10,000 foot view and try to stay objective while still being connected, right? Try to step back from the human tendencies of fear, anger, these kinds of expressions of fear and try to stay connected into love and oneness, regardless of what happens in the world from now and for the next couple years. Cause it'll be intense. And like you said, taking care of yourself first. Yes. So yeah. We should probably wrap up our recording today, but this has been so fabulous, Carrie. Thank you. I think this is going to help a lot of people who may be feeling the same stuff, like what is going on in this world and how to handle it. And
you're not alone out there. You are
not alone.
Yeah.
You are not alone. And everybody is going through it. And so, you know, talking about it and taking a little extra care of yourself, giving yourself a little extra grace. In these times is well called for. All right. Thank you so much, Carrie.
I love connecting with you. Thank you so much for having me and for this time together. It's always healing. Just the connecting is healing in itself.
And I think it really helps people. So thank you for doing what you do. And we will see you
soon.
Thank
you, sweetie.